John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, November 29, 2012. Palestinians rally to support President Abbas' bid at the UN, while 8 Palestinians injured in Gaza as Israeli forces continue to violate the ceasefire agreement. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Carrying President Abbas' photos and banners supporting him, families and political and community leaders rallied across major West Bank cities in support of the Palestinian application at the United Nations to become a non-member state. Israel and the U.S. opposed the move. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said earlier in the week that a long-term two-state solution should be pursued through negotiations between the occupied West Bank and Israel, not from the U.N. in New York. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today in Jerusalem the move will change nothing on the ground and only delay the establishment of the Palestinian state. President Mahmoud Abbas said that he refuses to exchange the approval of the UN application with the promise not to take Israel to international courts. President Abbas added that going to the vote regardless of Israeli opposition is a political victory. Meanwhile, in Gaza, the Israeli army continued its violations of the ceasefire that was reached on the evening of Wednesday, November 21st. In the Gaza Strip today, Israeli naval boats opened fire at Palestinian fishing boats off the Gaza City coastline today. Damage was reported, but no injuries. On Wednesday evening, Israeli troops shot and injured 7 Palestinians east of Al-Maghazi and the Al-Buraj refugee camps in central Gaza. Medical sources reported that all of the wounded Palestinians were moved to Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in the Central District and that one of them is in serious condition. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, November 29th News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hossam Kassis and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
and 29th of November, Insurgent Commander Malvin Nazir was wounded by a suicide bombing that killed three other people. He is considered by many the most important militant commander in all South Waziristan and has a non-aggression pact with the Pakistani government. He attacks U.S. and their allied forces in Afghanistan only. Afghanistan, 29th of November. A minibus hit a roadside bomb, killing 10 people and wounding 8 in Del Rawat District. The U.S. war in Iraq may be over, but bloody sectarian violence continues. Baghdad, Iraq, 29th of November. Two bombings near stores selling meat wounded 8 people, according to Aswat al-Iraq News Agency. Baghdad, Iraq, 29th of November. At least 2 people were killed and 9 more were wounded by a car bomb in southeastern Baghdad. Fallujah, Iraq, 29th of November. 2 civilians were killed and 5 more wounded by a suicide car bomb explosion in central Fallujah. The target appears to have been a police patrol car. Hilla, Iraq, 29th of November. At least 25 people were killed or wounded by a double bombing in front of the Hilla Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Barack Obama, Iraq is no role model for Afghanistan. George W. Bush could not stop the violence there no matter how long U.S. troops stayed. You will find the same to be true in Afghanistan. Now is the time to pull the plug. Bring all the troops home today.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
On the 26th of November, Mayor Gray's Chief of Staff, Chris Murphy, sent an insulting email to residents of the CCNV shelter organized under a group called SHARC around homeless advocacy. Mayor Gray, like Jack Evans, has been blowing off all efforts by homeless advocates to arrange a meeting to discuss shelter funding for the year and other issues affecting the poor. Infuriated CCNV residents responded by marching on City Hall.
So here's the deal. The mayor's chief of staff, a guy named Chris Murphy, he emailed me on November 16th. I had never heard of the guy before that day. I didn't know he existed. And he said to me in the email that I think you have the wrong information about the mayor's priorities in terms of schools and charter schools and parks and so forth. And he said, if you want to come down and have a civil meeting with us, you know, or with me, you know, I'm willing to meet with you. And he entitled his email an offer. Okay, so I took him up on that offer and I said, we don't just shout and shoot. We aren't just rebels without a cause. And we'll go down and talk to you. And then I found this blog post that explains all his policies and how they hurt the poor. I emailed that around, and so anyway, you know, I said, well, maybe this is what he's referring to, you know, and he got insulted, and he said that I was disrespectful to him. So he and I had a real sharp exchange this morning via email, and he actually called off the, or he didn't call it off, but he said he might call off the meeting he's going to have with SHARC on Wednesday in 2 days. You know, and so anyway, we're going to make a video real fast and put it out to him and let him know that we're galvanizing and that if he is unprofessional like that, it's going to look real bad for him because a public official should not get that easily insulted. I didn't call him any names. I was real nice. I didn't curse him out. I was absolutely nice in the email, and he got insulted anyway.
In response to this outrageous insult, CCNV shelter residents in SHARC vowed to bum rush City Hall in a chant during the March 2 City Hall.
Say what? Bum rush City Hall! We're gonna bum rush City Hall!
Say what?
Bum rush City Hall! We're gonna bum rush City Hall!
Say what?
Alright.
Yeah.
I'm glad everybody came out, and I want to tell y'all that Councilman Jim Graham who has oversight of human services, has said multiple times, you know, I see the same five advocates down here all the time. What if we have 7,000 homeless? Why aren't more of them here?
Thank you.
So now, here we are in larger numbers, and we're going to get even larger next month, okay? We're going to keep on growing, but for now, let's try to be peaceful, okay? Even though they pissed me off this morning, the mayor's office, we're still going to be nice today.
We got babies.
I'm going to be nice. So let's give them a chance to cooperate with us. Let's tell them our demands. Speak from your heart. What we want. You want affordable housing. You want living wage jobs. Let them know, okay? And if they don't make good, next time, we're going to come back and rap. But this time around, let's be nice about it, okay?
All right.
And that's me saying that, and I'm known to be nasty. So let's go on it.
Activists from Shark then joined forces with activists from RDC and marched into the district building. Shark stands for Shelter, Housing, Respect, and Change. Unfortunately, the mayor's scheduling department was all full of excuses again, this time claiming to have lost the previous application to meet with the mayor and saying it'd be 3 months to schedule another meeting with the mayor.
Hi, I'm Carla Bouchard. We're trying to schedule a meeting with the mayor. We've been trying to schedule it for months. We filed the proper paperwork November 1st. Here we are at the end of the month. They ping-pong from office to office. And we can't even make an appointment to see the scheduler to schedule a meeting with the mayor. So this is the most inaccessible public office I've ever encountered in my life.
Here's the excuses and delaying tactics that Shark got in return. Excuses and delays that surely would not be faced by a developer bringing boatloads of money for the mayor's next re-election campaign.
It goes to first it goes to correspondence twice, two people. Then it goes to scheduling. Yeah. So it's going to be about 3 months before you get a meeting.
That's what I call inaccessible. Of course, if Shark had been there to talk about the wonderful new condominiums they wanted to build for people making between $200,000 and $300,000 a year, you can bet the mayor's office would have been a lot more accessible than this. Of course, Shark is all about housing for the homeless and the poor, not for rich single professionals. A 3 month delay at the beginning of winter. Could it be that Mayor Gray is hoping that homeless people will freeze to death prior to that meeting?
When we came in earlier, there were probably about 60 of us, and we went to the Councilman Jim Graham's office and had a friendly meeting. And then, later on, we came up here to the mayor's executive office. And we've been trying since November 1st to get a meeting with the mayor. I filled out an application and went through the proper process. And here it is, the 26th, 3.5 weeks later. We still don't have a confirmed date. The process to me has been very unprofessional. They kind of leave you hanging, and then when you come in the office here, you don't get any straight answers a lot of times. And I had to really prod and pry to get any semblance of a straight answer from the people that we just spoke to. And so we still don't know when we're going to meet with the mayor. We've been told that it could be a 3 month wait to meet with him. Almost 1 month has passed already. They say that it might be January or February when that meeting happens, and that they're just now scheduling people for the end of December. And so our meeting may take place next year. The mayor had emergency legislation to give funding to schools for upgrades. And yet, homelessness, you know, which is a real emergency, especially in the winter, it takes us 2 or 3 months to get a meeting with the mayor. And so I'm very dissatisfied with the process for getting a meeting with the mayor and the process for them gathering public complaints and corresponding with the mayor concerning what the public has to say. I find this to be very unsatisfactory. I will put it out there. I will blog about it. When I filled out the paper asking for a meeting with the mayor, it somehow got lost. And when I went to Facebook 12 days later and I put it on Facebook, I got a call and an email immediately. And they want to protect the mayor's image, but they don't want to make sure that what he does is effective and that he's successful. This mayor is actually less accessible than the previous mayor, you know, and so I'm very dissatisfied with that, and hopefully things will get better, but I do feel like we put a lot of pressure on people in this office. I think they felt us. I think they're going to convey that pressure and that tension to the mayor. Let's hope that happens, okay, because I'm not trying to be nice anymore, and I hope nobody here with me is trying to be nice either. You know, in the words of Chuck, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
I heard that. It's obvious that being nice doesn't work with somebody like Mayor Gray. The message of Shark to Mayor Gray is simple. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. On November the 23rd, Black Friday, workers walked out of Walmart stores all over the U.S. Here in D.C., striking Walmart associates joined with labor activists to march on a number of Walmarts around D.C. Hundreds appeared at the Walmart in Laurel, and five busloads of protesters departed from a union hall in Prince George's County, deploying to a number of different Walmart stores. One participant in the buses that left the UFCW union hall was on a bus that deployed to a Walmart for an in-store mic check, much to the consternation of Walmart's managers. Here's how it went down as told by a participant who used to work at Walmart in New Mexico.
I went out to New Carrollton at the end of the orange line, and it was at the USCW Union Hall. And there were, five buses full of people. And the bus I was on was kind of reserved for experienced activists.
And that was the bus that went to the mic check action?
Yeah, the first action, where all five buses went, was essentially a march. And it just marched around the whole shopping center where the Walmart was.
Here's what things sounded like as five busloads of protesters marched around the Walmart.
We say Black Lives Matter. We say Black Lives Matter. We say Black Lives Matter. We say Fight Back.
That's hundreds of people chanting, they say roll back, we say fight back. According to our participant, who formerly worked at Walmart, the march pretty much kept their distance when asked to by police in order to avoid creating problems for associates still working inside.
Didn't go very near the Walmart.
Was that the one on Route 450 where cops were reported to keep people away?
There weren't enough cops there really to keep people away if they didn't want to. It was kind of being run in such a way as they didn't want to look like the bad guys. The march was kind of soft, you know. There was maybe a 250 people, and just marched around the Walmart, and there was a lot of yelling and stuff. And then our bus went to a second target in Severin. And in that one, it looked like they saw us coming. It looked like they knew we were coming, so they had a few cops there. But there was one entrance that they didn't block off, and so our bus stopped right next to that. We all unloaded out and went through the garden department.
Ooh.
And into the Walmart and up where the cash registers were. And then we did a pre-written mic check. It was a mic check. It was on paper, and the person doing the mic checking read it.
We are here today.
We are here today.
In support of Walmart Associates.
In support of Walmart Associates.
We are here in support.
We are here in support.
The organization United for Respect.
The organization United for Respect.
We are standing with those.
We are standing with those.
Who are refusing to work today.
Who are refusing to work today.
And stores across the country.
And stores across the country.
So that every Walmart associate.
according to the former Walmart associate WSQT interviewed about this protest, the cops inside Walmart weren't too happy about the mic check.
And then the cops kind of converged on us. They're threatening to arrest people, and they're getting kind of pushy. So once the mic check was finished, we just chanted, "We'll be back, we'll be back." Started marching out of there. One of the individuals actually talked to a lot of people in there. A lot of the customers were actually glad to see it happening. And to the extent that they could, some of the employees were approving of it. There was somebody from The Nation, the magazine The Nation there.
Yeah.
And he was taking pictures, doing a little bit of video. And the manager got all up in his face, told me he couldn't video here, and the guy from The Nation just kind of ignored him.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen at a Fur Shop protest where someone tried to tell me I couldn't shoot video.
Yeah, and then the manager went to the cops to tell them they weren't allowed to use video there, and the cop didn't seem to feel that that was something that he was going to get into.
That's also consistent with what I had at the Fur Shop.
Yeah, I think something like that would be a civil suit. Police wouldn't be involved in that. I doubt whether it would go very far. We exited out, and we went back in the bus, went back to Union Hall. And being in Union Hall, and therefore having much more money than most of us poor activists, they had a monstrous amount of pizza waiting for us. And they had been doing this. This isn't the first one they did it with. They had done walkthroughs and mic checks in various different Walmarts all for the week.
I heard about that. One woman that was interviewed at one of the Walmart protests by TV7 said that she'd been forced to work on Thanksgiving, so now she was walking out.
Good. Good. Yeah, there were, well, a lot of the people who were with us were actually people who had walked out. My understanding is they've got them to where Walmart is in a legal bind that they can't fire them. Okay?
There's been lots of talk of retaliation.
The organization is actually called Our Walmart.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, it's not like a union in as far as the NLRA, nowadays defines a union.
Which gives them more flexibility.
It's actually reminds me a lot more of the old-fashioned solidarity unions.
Hmm.
You know? So it's a good thing. I think it's a very good development.
And the idea for Walmart of having strikes and protests on Black Friday has got to get their hackles up.
Yeah, he was pretty angry.
Yeah. What do you think the odds are that since they can't fire the strikers, they'll try to order them all to work on Christmas and New Year's as a way of retaliation?
I don't know. I worked at Walmart for about 4 months in New Mexico. They did some pretty nasty stuff. I mean, they fired somebody for taking off for the funeral of a son-in-law who had been killed in Afghanistan.
Ooh!
I mean,
they did that?
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. They were pretty nasty.
And were they flying an American flag outside their store while they fired somebody for taking time off for a military funeral?
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, they're going to take 2 weeks off to be with their daughter because it was her husband.
Who was killed in Afghanistan, and then Walmart flying an American flag outside their store fires somebody over that.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. Yeah, they'd fire you if you're out more than 4 days sick. If you got sick. You're out more than 4 days. I mean, not paid 4 days, unpaid.
Yeah.
One guy was there, coughed his head off, and he was ordered to... He wasn't allowed to go home or he'd be fired. And if he kept coughing, they were going to fire him.
How many other people got sick because of that?
Yeah, that was what I was trying to say. But on the other hand, yeah, it's kind of weird because I kind of had them somehow in a little bit of a legal bind. Because, yeah, I would stand at my cash register, and I'd have an AFL-CIO neck thing holding my Walmart ID that I got at the DNC, and I'd have my IWW red card right with my ID and an IWW button on, and I'd actually sing Solidarity Forever right at the cash register. And somehow that put them in a legal bind where they didn't dare do anything. But unfortunately, when I tried to pursue that and push what I found to be a sort of a legal conundrum for them, I was unable to continue. I had some life changes and I had to move on. In fact, when I quit, because they said I was training for traveling, they said I was rehirable.
And that just goes to show you that even the mighty Walmart, the creeps that think they can get away with anything, understand power. Even Walmart understands the power of the union, the power of the strike, the power of the walkout, the power of the boycott. If anybody asks you why you should boycott Walmart, why you should help keep DC Walmart free, just remember this. Walmart, always low wages. Always. Walmart, rolling back wages. On Thanksgiving week, the sovereign Yunus Toten clan of indigenous peoples in so-called British Columbia intercepted pipeline surveyors for the Pacific Trails pipeline on their property. They issued them an eagle feather, the first and only warning of trespass under their traditional law. They impounded all the surveyors' equipment, warning that they would never permit this pipeline to be built on their unceded sovereign land. This took place as the ongoing tar sands blockade in Texas entered their third month of holding out in the trees against construction of the Keystone XL Tar Sands Pipeline Southern Phase 3 section. The Northern Phase 4 section that Obama has held up to save his job has been compared by the Lakota, whose land it would divide into, to the railroad. Since the railroad brought genocide and death to the Lakota, that comparison has only one possible meaning. That meaning is the same meaning as what a Yunus Toten eagle feather means if a trespasser is foolish enough to return. Resistance to the tar sands pipelines and other oil extraction projects is spreading across all of Turtle Island. That's because tar sands oil from the mines in Alberta, Canada, is up to 5 times as carbon intensive as normal oil, and the mines are poisoning indigenous children. One scientist said if we burn all the oil in the massive tar sands deposits, it's game over for the climate. Therefore, the fight to stop the Keystone XL and all other pipelines leaving Alberta, Canada, is nothing less than a war for survival for indigenous people today and for the rest of us tomorrow. On the 29th of November, a blockade of the Valero oil refinery in Houston, Texas, marked the beginning of a sustained hunger strike against the Keystone XL tar sands oil pipeline. Activists locked their necks to trucks entering the refinery, demanding that the Valero oil refinery boycott oil from the Alberta tar sands and the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. It took the cops almost 2 hours to remove them from the trucks and clear the blockade of refinery ground transport. Here are the video statements they released on YouTube.
My name is Diane Wilson. I'm 64 years old, and I'm from Seadrift, Texas. And I stand in solidarity with the people of Manchester, with the tar sands blockade, and with those fighting environmental destructive behavior worldwide.
My name is Bob Lindsay. I'm 64 years old. I'm from Port O'Connor, Texas. I stand in solidarity with the people of Manchester, the tar sands blockade, and those fighting the environmental devastation worldwide.
People can support me by joining the hunger strike in solidarity. They can add things to the commissary while I'm in jail. They can write me in jail, and they can boycott Valero.
Calhoun County has the highest level of cancer in any county in the state of Texas. And I've seen the destruction that it causes the people, the bay, and the entire community. In Calhoun County, there are a number of chemical plants. My sister lives approximately 5 miles from one. She's experienced 4 different cancers. And her son has died of a liver ailment at the age of 41. My father died at the age of 45. From a blood disorder that we also believe was incurred through exposure to these chemical plants. I'm here and healthy, and I'm here to fight for them.
I have spent my entire life on the Texas Gulf Coast, surrounded by oil and chemical refineries, and I have saw the devastation where your community is destroyed, your bay is destroyed, your people are destroyed, and it has to stop, and it has to stop now at this community that is being destroyed and is being overwhelmed by tar sands.
We demand that Valero divest itself of the XL pipeline, the tar sands, invest heavily in the community of Manchester, which has been devastated by their actions so far. And we want them to get out and stay out of our local communities.